Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
It's an honor to be here. And why don't we pray before we sit? Let's just pray. If you can, lift your hands to heaven. God, we just love you. We love your presence. And today I pray, God, in these next few moments that people would fall more in love with you, Jesus, that we would see you clearer, that would have a greater revelation and understanding of just how amazing you are, Jesus, and what you've done for us and what you are doing in us. So God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Wonderful. Hey, turn to the person next to you and just say, you are so beautiful. I'm so glad that you're here. You can grab your seats. Hello, Corey. It's nice to see you. I love Corey very much. I've known her for a very long time. Great that you're doing Auslan. Sorry, we call it something different in the Philippines. I'm not being insensitive. This pastor is probably the best looking pastor in the world. This is what I think. These are my thoughts. Stop pointing at me. They're not my, yes, there you go, my thoughts. Thank you, Corey. Before I preach, it's just wonderful to be in here. Hello, Maddie. I want to honor Pastor Ken and Chrissy. And Pastor Ken's down at Port Kennedy now preaching, which is great. But we just love you guys so much. Thank you for being just the best older sister and brother to me and Kate. My wife sends her love. She's in our church right now in the Philippines. And you guys have always spoken so much vision and dream into us. Every crazy, stupid dream I've ever had, you and Pastor Ken have always believed that we could actually do it. And even just the other night, I preached on this stage and preached in our state conference, preached this crazy, stupid dream that people laugh at. People laughed at me in the sermon. Did you hear that the other night? What the heck? Anyway, I got off the stage and Pastor Ken grabs me, hugs me and says, I'm believing with you. Let's believe together. So thank you for being our champions. And we really just love and appreciate you so much. Wonderful, and we do need to preach, and it's great. I do love Matt and Monty O'Sullivan, who baptized my wife and was my wife's young adult pastors as well. And Monty looks the exact same as what she did when she was my wife's young adult pastor. Matt doesn't at all, but Monty does. Wonderful. Okay, you're still here. You're incredible. Thank you so much. You can go, or you can stay, whatever you want to do. This is, you do you. If you don't know me, my quick story is my dad's Australian, my mother is a New Zealander, and I was born in the Philippines, and I lived there for about 11 years of my childhood. I went to an American international school, so I've got the fake accent, but I'm really Aussie. My dad's from Newcastle, and my mom's a New Zealander, and about 9 years ago, my wife and I, we moved to the Philippines. We had a one-year-old, and my wife was 9 weeks pregnant. We didn't realize at the time. And we started a church, and there's my family. There's my beautiful family. And I wanted to show this picture because this is the reality of my family. My oldest daughter, Hope, she's like, okay. My other daughter, Sienna, she's 8. She's like, I don't want to be in this photo at all. And then there is this gift from God, Aslan. And, you know, the Bible does say you reap what you sow. And I was a terrible child, and I am reaping what I sowed. But the kid is unbelievable, and he's a leader, and he's amazing. And that's my wife. I miss her dearly, and I can't wait to see her tomorrow. So that's us. That's our family. And I want to preach to you today. I want to preach to you about something that's really close to my heart. In fact, I wrote this sermon a month ago, and I preached it in my church, and I thought I would only preach it in my church. But then I figured that Nations actually has the exact same spirit as our church, which is really cool. And when we had we had something called a community gathering years ago, which had about 20 people at it as we were starting at the church. And I began to really think, what was the type of church that I wanted to start? And who were the people that I wanted to go after? The Philippines, if you don't know, is a very class-based society. And so it's not just like lower class, middle class, upper. We have named them class A, B, C, D, E, and people know what class they're in. Malls have a class in, right? And so a lot of times, even in churches, people have churches that go after different classes or an individual class because it's easier just to focus your teaching and your ministry into one class. But I'm Australian. We're a classless society here in Australia. Come on, look at you. You got no class out here. And so I didn't kind of want to do that. I wanted to do a church the way Jesus would do a church, for anyone and for everyone. And the poor need the rich, and the rich need the poor, and everything in between. And the Philippines is a very religious country as well. And there's a lot of people that just did church. They faked it. They showed up. They did what they needed to do. And so I was thinking, well, what type of church do I want? I love Romans 3, 23 and 24. It's a beautiful verse. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's a very confronting but beautiful verse. And I love that word, all. How many of y'all are grateful that it says all? It means the person sitting next to you is as messed up and as crazy as what you are. Say amen to that. So we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I love that the next verse uses the same word. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. There is no one that is too far away from Jesus. There is no one that has out-sinned the grace and the love of Jesus. And we're justified, not because of what we've done or how good we are, but only because of who he is, what he's done, how perfect Jesus is. And again, as we're trying to look at this church, I guess my heart was really broken because I knew a lot of people that had stopped going to church, or they just stay away from going to church because they thought they weren't good enough to come. They thought they weren't as perfect as the pastors that would preach on the stage. I mean, obviously they've never met a pastor. We're messed up. We got issues, right? Come on, how many of y'all think your pastors have some issues? Say amen. You're a very honoring church. Not many of you said amen, except the campus pastor in the front row. You know what I hated? I hated when people would give up on church, even more would give up on God, because maybe some individuals that were supposed to represent him did it in a false way. That they kind of had this perfection, and you got to be this standard, you got to live like this, and it would break my heart when I'd see people walk away from God. And so I'm thinking, okay, so what church do I want to build here? What's the type of people that we want to go after? And you know what? I wanted a church where people that felt uncomfortable going to church felt comfortable coming. I wanted a church where people could, instead of coming and putting on the mask, how are you? Oh, good. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. El Shaddai, right? Where we could actually take off the mask for a couple hours and just be, actually, life's pretty tough. I wanted a church where we gave people space to wrestle with the things of God, ask tough questions that we're not allowed to ask in church, but give them a space where they didn't just wrestle alone, but we wrestled with them, where people could sit in a pit for a little while, and we would sit in the pit with them and talk things through. In fact, I think ultimately I wanted a church for imperfect people. And the title of my message today is A Church for Imperfect People. And the reason why I love preaching this here at Nations is because I know Nations is a church for imperfect people as well. And I'm not talking about the people around you or your neighbors. I'm talking about you. This church is for you. I asked my daughter, Hope, the 10-year-old, I was writing this message and she was next to me. I said, "Baby, what do you think a church for imperfect people means?" And she said this. She goes, "It means that no one is perfect, and if you make a mistake, then no one will be angry at you." No, that's not the end. And then she went on and said, "Unless it's a really big one, like if you set the whole church on fire and everyone dies." Pray for me, that's the mind of my 10-year-old daughter. So I love this idea, Church for Imperfect People. We ended up putting it on a sign and putting it out the front of our church. We put it on a truck and drove that truck around Manila and put everything in our church in that truck. And people just began to resonate with this thing. My staff members, a few of my staff members today, This is actually what got them in the church. I've got a couple, Tally and John. Tally's unbelievable. She runs essentially half of our church. John does our whole host team and Favorite Fitness, but they were going through a really hard time when they were dating as a couple, basically been kicked out of a church, felt no love, felt no grace. Someone said, hey, you should try it at that Favorite church. So they looked us up on Instagram, and we just got that little line, church for imperfect people, and Tally hit John and said, hey, this is a church for you. And they ended up coming, and they found a place that didn't judge them but loved them and walked the journey with them. Now they're married, have a beautiful son, and they're serving Jesus in the most incredible way. I had another staff member, Kai. She was drunk one night with her friend. They were both drunk together, and somehow they ended up on Instagram. Man, Instagram's a great way to get people to church. And they ended up on Instagram, and the friend saw the church and was looking through it. She showed it to her friend, Kai, who was going through a terrible season, had no purpose, had no hope, felt hopeless. She looked at this thing and said, church for imperfect people. And she goes, oh, maybe this church could be a place where I could find hope because I'm imperfect. She ended up coming, giving her heart to Jesus, married one of the young guys in our church. She oversees now the very thing that brought her to church. She now oversees. She oversees our whole social media now in our church and is an absolute whiz at it. There's another girl, Sandra. I like this story. During the pandemic, COVID. Anyone remember COVID? Wow, wasn't that a fun time? So I know you guys had it so tough in Perth. Y'all crazy, man. In the Philippines, my children weren't legally allowed outside for 20 months. Children and over 65, right? And the government made everyone stay home. For the first 3.5 months, no one was allowed to leave their house other than an emergency. But the problem is a lot of people work day by day to get money to have food. And so the government said stay at home, but the government then didn't feed them. And so as a church, we decided we're going to do everything we can. So we ended up feeding about 1,000 to 3,000 families per week for months through the pandemic. And we'd give them food and just inside a bag of rice as well, we just put in just a little card that just says church for imperfect people. So one day, someone has gotten that and they've traveled like an hour away from our church and they're doing this swap meet, right? And she swaps her bag of rice for like this little cupboard from this person. I mean, you know, God bless, whatever. Use the food we give you to go and get other stuff. That's fine. Favorite church, we're just building the economy of the Philippines. And so this other lady really needed rice, so she gave up a cupboard, got her rice, went home. As she opened it up, she saw this little card. She was a single mother at the time that was living with a man, had a partner that wasn't her husband and was not the father of the son. And she had had a faith once before, but she'd really walked away from faith. She saw that card, and she went, man, church for imperfect people, that sounds like a church for me. And she got online, and she began to watch online during the pandemic, and something just gripped a hold of her heart in that. I'll tell you the end of that story at the end of my sermon. There's just so many people that have ended up coming to our church, seeing the sign, going, this feels like a church for me. But as you know with church, as happy as people can be, is as angry as people can be. Does that make sense? Like if you're happy about something in church, oh, I love that our church did that. There's probably somebody else in your church that hates that our church did that. That's the joy of being a pastor. We have to love you all, right? So as happy as some people were with this, we had some people that didn't like it. They didn't like it. In fact, there was a church pastor, and I won't name his name, it doesn't matter, but he pastors a huge church in the Philippines, a mega church that went online in his sermon and basically spent about 7 minutes of his sermon having a go at our church. And going, you know, some of these young churches in Manila, you know, they've got the dark stage and the lights in there. They look like nightclubs, not a house of worship. And they've got these taglines, church for imperfect people. And he just proceeded to rip our church and bring theology into it. Here's the problem. As I listened to him, I was like, yeah, you actually have a fair point. Because he went to the Bible and he said, Hebrews chapter 10, 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. This is wonderful news for you and I. It means that if we decide to follow Jesus, in the eyes of Jesus, we are instantly made perfect. We are instantly made whole. Isn't that good news? Come on. My flawed, messed up self, full of shortcomings, full of sin, full of shame, I now follow Jesus. And I've been made perfect, not because of me, but because of Him. And not only that, we can go a step further and not just talk about being made perfect, but our position. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up, here it is, with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So now not only are we perfect, but we are now seated instantly with Jesus in heavenly realms. This is wonderful. And I see what the pastor was saying, and I agree with him. But I think he was misinterpreting our heart. Because the way he was kind of interpreting was, well, we're a church for imperfect people, so you can come and you can stay in all your messed up issues. You can come. In fact, we're a church where we're for imperfect. You want to do drugs? Come to Favor Church. We're going to take care of you. You want an affair? Come to Favor Church. You want your kids to stop following Jesus? Come to Favor Church, and we'll take care of that. And that was sort of the misinterpretation that he had of our tagline. Can I tell you that a church for imperfect people is not an invitation to keep living as you are, but it's an invitation for people to come, feel safe, and to come into the loving embrace of Jesus and be transformed from the inside out to become more like him. And that's what's beautiful about having a church full of imperfect people, because we're all on the same journey together. So let's talk about our position. Where are we? Are we in heaven? Are we on earth? Are we in hell? Where are we? I think the most important thing that we have to understand is actually the direction that we're facing, right? So let me explain this to you. So let's just say before I found Jesus, I was walking on this road towards whatever you want to describe it. I'll just say hell. I'm on the highway to hell right now. I am me and AC/DC. We are all going to hell right now. So we're on here. And then what happens is we have an encounter with Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. He's beautiful. And Jesus says, repent and believe, right? Repent and believe in him. And the word repent in the original Greek, it actually means to take a physical 180 degree turn. It's this picture to change your direction. Here's the issue that I found in church a lot across the world for many decades, is that a lot of times we don't preach come and follow Jesus. We preach change your behavior. And so it's like, hey, if you want to be a Christian and you want to follow Jesus, as you turn, you need to stop your smoking, you need to stop your drinking, you need to stop looking at that stuff, you need to stop stealing, you need to stop everything like that. Did Jesus say any of those things when he approached people? What did he say? Come follow me. All those messed up things, Jesus didn't go through it, because he knew that if you followed him, some of those things are going to work themselves out. Like vices and those behavior things. Can I tell you, you don't need to be a Christian to stop that. In fact, you know what's happening a lot in the world is that a lot of people are turning this way. They're actually turning away from their vices. You know that in the secular world, there are massive anti-pornography movements that are happening, not done by Christians either, and not like secretly done by Christians. It's actual unchurched, non-believers that see how incredibly destructive pornography has been. There's anti-drugs. Come on, that's been around for decades. Anti-gambling. Every time you see an ad, are you gambling responsibly, right? Like, ain't Christians doing that. It's people knowing that they're going to mess up their money. You know, there's a huge movement happening right now, an anti-masturbation movement by non-Christians, which is crazy. And so getting rid of our vices is not the goal. People without Jesus can get rid of our vices, but the goal is to actually turn and to follow Jesus. The biggest thing in our relationship with Jesus is actually not where we're at, it's where we're facing. Because you're either facing towards him or you're facing away from him. There's no middle ground. And the moment that we turn and we begin to face Jesus, We enter into our first position, and this is what I want to tell you about. This is your position in the heavenly realms. This is my little friend. It's a sheep. Isn't that beautiful? Because we're all sheep following the good shepherd, right? Oh, I love you, Jesus. All right. Have you ever seen that photo of Jesus, the one with the lamb is on his back? He's like, yeah, I'm on Jesus. So this represents you, this represents me, this represents Corey. So the moment that we turn and we begin to follow Jesus, instantly, we are now seated up here in heavenly realms with Jesus. This is amazing. I want you all to know I'm a little bit scared of heights, but I'm doing this because I love Jesus. And I love you, right? So we are now, all of a sudden, instantly, we are seated here. You didn't earn it. You didn't even have to walk up the ladder. In fact, you can't walk up the ladder. It's like an instant teleportation. You are seated. I follow Jesus. I am now seated here. Oh, but I'm struggling with addictions. It doesn't matter. You follow Jesus, you are instantly seated here. Here's a couple thoughts that I have about it. Our position in Christ is a result of our new life in Christ from which precious experiences may grow. For example, we talked about justification. It means that all of our past sins are covered. And come on, when you realize that you've been justified just as if you've never sinned, that leads to a life of joy and of peace. It's amazing. The second thing about being seated up here is that the Christian position is as perfect and complete in an instant. It is possessed as it ever will be in the ages to come, which means this: you can't climb up the ladder anymore. This is it. Once you're here, you're here. Come on, someone say amen to that. You can't make Jesus love you anymore. His love will never leave you. His love, you cannot be separated from it. But as well, you can't have more. He loves you. This is it. It's beautiful. The third thing is that this position has nothing to do with what we have accomplished or earned. Oh, come on, someone say amen to that. It's only solely on the merit of Christ. The Christian is accepted now and forever in Him. We can't earn this. Come on, does that take a little bit of pressure off everybody right now? You want to be seated with Christ? Guess what? It's about acknowledging what He did, not about you trying to get your works up to be seated here. This position, number four, does not ever change. Our awareness and our feelings about this position may vary day to day, but abiding fact is that we are a new creation in Christ. Your emotions. Hey, how many of y'all have had a bad day before? How many have had a bad week, a bad month? You know what the problem is? Sometimes we think that every time we have a bad day, it's like, oh, I had a bad day. Oh, I'm off now. I'm coming down. I came back to church. I had a good day. Now I'm back up here. That's not how it works. Why? Because your emotions don't dictate truth. Truth dictates truth. So don't be led by your emotions. Be led by your truth. Can I tell you, I've had some real bad days. I've had some bad weeks. I've had some bad months. But I've always been seated up here with Christ during those seasons. And the last is this: our position can only be known through God revealing it to us. It's really grasped only by believing the word of God and eternal riches and grace for everyone who will believe. You want to know more about this? You need to read the Bible and let Him begin to speak to you. That is our position. That is you. You are that sheep right now. If you love Jesus and follow Him, you are that sheep. But sometimes it doesn't feel like we're seated in heavenly realms, does it? Do you know why? Because even though you have a position up there, you also have a position down here. And the moment that I turn and begin to follow Jesus, my other position is now my position within the sanctification journey. Now, if you've never heard that phrase before, it's just a really spiritual term that we use to basically describe our journey in becoming more like Jesus every day. Sometimes we miscommunicate what it is. We say that the sanctification journey is, oh, you find Jesus and he's going to change your whole life. Everything's going to be amazing. And whenever we say stuff, it It's like we interpret that how we want. So some people change your whole life means, oh, when I find Jesus, all my debt will be taken. My mortgage will be paid for. The grass will be greener, right? I'll become more attractive to people around me and I'll finally get a wife, right? Whatever it is, however you interpret it. But that's not what it is. You know what the Christian walk has looked like for me? Can I give you my example? And if you have the same journey, I just want you to say amen. Is that okay? Like, if you have the same journey, just say amen with it. This is how my Christian walk has looked. Oh, I love you, Jesus. One step, two step. You're amazing, Jesus. Oh, I looked at something that I shouldn't have looked at. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, you gave me a wife. Thank you for giving me a wife, God. God, why did you give me a wife? God, thank you for this new job. It's incredible. Oh, God, I stole something I shouldn't have stolen. I've done something I should. You know what the Christian walk looks like a lot of times? Three steps forward, two steps back. Right? Has anybody here had a perfect walk? I haven't. Anybody here had a walk like me? Come on, be honest with me. Let me see your hands. Come on, church for imperfect people. Right? That's what our Christian walk looks like a lot of times. It's a couple steps forward and it's a couple steps back. And can I be honest with you? That's why I love Nations Church. And that's why I love my church. Because we need a church of imperfect people that don't feel terrible that they made a couple mistakes, that aren't condemned because maybe they took a couple of steps back. But in this place, there is a space for us to actually wrestle with God. There's a space for us to find forgiveness, to find grace, to find mercy in Him. Our position with Jesus is never in question. I am perfect in Jesus' eyes, but in my wife's eyes, in your spouse's eyes, in your kids' eyes, right? In our coworkers' eyes. Why? Because we ain't perfect. But sometimes in church, we try and pressure people to be perfect. So if people come, we say, we preach messages, you should be doing this, and you should be having prosperity, and your marriage should be good. And if your marriage isn't good, it's your problem. You're not reading the Bible more. And people come and they go, I'm really struggling. And sometimes our answer, not at Nations Church, in other churches, sometimes our answer is like, well, just read the Bible more. Just pray more. What are you doing that's wrong? And we end up spiritually gaslighting people instead of actually sitting with them and going, are you having a tough time? Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let me wrestle with you. Oh, you don't believe that bit of the Bible anymore? Let's talk about it. Let's wrestle in it. You're not a terrible person. You're just a person that's finally asking questions for the first time. Let's talk about it. Let's wrestle with it together. We need to be open in a church environment about our struggle and our wrestle. Because we don't all have it together. If you're new and you come into Nations, you look around all these beautiful people. Oh my gosh, they just look so perfect. They have it all together. They don't. Some of y'all fought on the way to church today. Like, wait, you didn't get to church. All right, put her hat. Hi, good morning. Wow, it's okay. Can I have a coffee? Great. Love, do you want a coffee, love? You want a, okay, right? We all got stuff going on. You know, I love the Apostle Paul. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. I love the Apostle Paul. People think the Apostle Paul was like, whoa, he's so out there and so far away from us. Do you know that the Apostle Paul was very similar to us? I love this. We can see it. Romans 7, verse 15. This is what he says, right? This is the first line. I do not understand what I do. Come on. Any wives say amen to their husband right now? Hey, doesn't that make you feel good that the Apostle Paul, who had an encounter with Jesus himself on the road to Damascus, miraculously healed 3 days, preaching the gospel, and even he turns around and says, guys, I don't understand what I do sometimes. And then he goes on to write the greatest tongue twister in the whole of the Bible. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And as it is, I'm no longer myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Sea, she sells seashells by the seashore. Right, okay. So if you didn't understand that or if I read it too quickly, that's okay. Let me just break it down for you. Paul is saying, I live in a tension. And the tension is, I love Jesus. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to live the way that he lived. I want to do everything that he did. But I have this sinful nature. And sometimes this sinful nature wins out. The longer you walk on your sanctification journey, the less your sinful nature wins. And the damage of that sinful nature, it gets less and less on the journey as we become more like Jesus. But the tension is still there. You may not be struggling with the things you struggled with 20 years ago. But, you know, like for me, I don't struggle with some of the things I struggled with 20 years ago at all. I have fought the battle. I have become mature in my faith. But you know what I still struggle with? Getting angry. Is there anybody else in this room? I get angry. Y'all, I drive in the Philippines. Do you know how much the Lord has to heal my heart every single day that I drive? I still struggle with it. Come on, am I the only one here? I still struggle with anger. And I love how Paul, he's going, okay, listen, this is the tension I live in. But just a few verses later, this is what he says in Romans 8, verse 1. He goes, therefore. Oh, this is good. Because what therefore means is, I've just given you this whole idea of how I struggle, but therefore, because I struggle, therefore, this is now how I live. Ready? This is what he says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Come on, someone say amen to that. Even though I may struggle with sin a little bit, I know I've been justified, not by my own good works, but because of how good Jesus is. And now the guilt, the shame, the Facebook memories that pop up every time the enemy wants to put on me who I used to be, what I used to do, I can now look and go, there's no condemnation. Man, if you feel condemned, that ain't from Jesus. He has set us free. A church for imperfect people. It's not about lowering the bar, but it's actually about widening the gate so that more people can come and find Jesus. Remember, Paul already wrote a few chapters earlier, Romans 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Theologians believe that Paul here is trying to correct some misinterpretations that people have had. Well, I found Jesus. I have freedom now. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. I can do anything I want. Paul's like, no, it's not about that. It's not about that. When you find Jesus, yes, okay, there's still going to be a struggle, but you don't just live however you want. When you find Jesus, you begin to read the teachings of Jesus. You begin to see how Jesus lived, and you begin to become more like Jesus every single day. Until the day I die, I will fight against sin. And most days I will win that fight. But there'll be some days where I struggle. And it's in those days I'm glad I'm in a church for imperfect people. Because when I'm weak, I need some people around me to be strong. And when I'm strong, I need to help some people around me that are weak. You know, every church has people that struggle with sin in it. It's just whether we're honest about it or not, right? Come on, nations, we're honest in our church. I want to be honest. I want to throw legalism out the door. I want to invite people into a beautiful relationship with Jesus where his Spirit lives in us. I love the Holy Spirit. I've been prayer walking recently. I hate walking. I think walking's terrible. I've never been a fan of it. My wife loves walking. Been walking for 16 years of our marriage. Treadmill people that run. Do we have any treadmill walkers or runners right now in the room? Yep, we have one, two. Great. Y'all are crazy. I just like, you just get on. You don't go anywhere at all. You're just there the whole time. But recently I discovered that because of my ADHD, when I walk, I can actually concentrate and pray longer than I ever have before. It's amazing. I said to my wife, okay, I love this. And she got very upset at me because she's like, I've been telling you this for 16 years. Hey, come on, wives, keep praying because one day whatever you're telling him, it might just, the penny might just drop one day. Just keep praying for your man, okay? Some of us are dumb and we need 16 years, okay? So I now walk around. I've got a little like subdivision where I live. I walk around where I live. And you know what I love is that when I walk, you know the Holy Spirit is a person? It's not just a vapor or a mist. Sometimes because of the Holy Ghost, oh, let's go, oh, the Holy Ghost, right? He's actually a person with a personality that loves us. And so every time I walk now, and I know this might be weird to you, but I don't care. It helps me. I actually look next to me as I walk. I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thanks for walking with me. And then you know what I do for the next hour to 2 hours, depending on what it is? I talk to him. And I walk with him. And he helps me, and he leads me, and he guides me every day. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Sandra, she got this little card, Church for Imperfect People Out of the Rice. And so she went online, she started watching. Something gripped her heart. The moment that we opened up, we were one of the first churches in Manila to open up after pandemic, and we could only do 30%, and oh, just craziness. She came with her partner that she was living with, and her son came into church, was in church for about 6 months, you know, all the teaching, all the preaching, they joined a connect group, and what was so beautiful is that in that journey of 6 months, God began to get a hold of their lives, and after about 6 months, they looked at each other, and they said, you know what, we either need to stop this, or we need to get married, because, you know, God's doing something. You know what I love about this story, is that there was no leader that looked at them when they walked and said, oh, you're not living, you're not married, and you're living together? Do you know what the Word of God says? No one did that. We just loved on them. We were clear about what the Word of God said, but we gave them space to wrestle. Do we believe what that is? Or do we, sometimes we've been in church so long that we forget that other people don't believe what we believe. And we get annoyed when they don't believe what we believe straight away. This is the space we have to give people to wrestle. And they wrestled. And what was beautiful is because they wrestled with it and because they fell in love with the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit that brought conviction to them. And they ended up getting married. They're now married. She's a backing vocalist in our worship team. He serves in our production team. And they're actually connect group leaders now that are helping lead other people, all because of this little postcard in a bag of rice that said, Church for Imperfect People, that grabbed her heart. She goes, I'm imperfect. Maybe that church could be for me. You know what I love about Jesus is this, is that he built his church on imperfect people. He built it 2,000 years ago on imperfect people, and he's still doing it today. You know that he welcomed tax collectors, and he's still inviting the corrupt officials and tax evaders. He welcomed fishermen, and he's still inviting the blue-collar workers and day laborers. He welcomed prostitutes, and he's still inviting those who have sinned sexually. The zealots were welcome, and he's still inviting the political extremists and radicals. He welcomed Samaritans, and he's still inviting the marginalized and the discriminated groups. He invited lepers, and he's still inviting those with stigmatized diseases and social outcasts. He invited sinners, and he's still inviting those with criminal records and addictions and struggles. He invited doubters, and he's still inviting the skeptics and the agnostics and the atheists today. He invited the poor, and he's still today inviting the homeless and those in poverty. And he invited the rich young ruler, and today he's still inviting the wealthy who feel unfulfilled despite his riches. All Jesus built a church on imperfect people, and he's still doing it today. But you know what I love about Jesus? He doesn't just build it on imperfect people. He calls them in, but he doesn't allow them to stay the way they were. I need the band to come up with me. Because he took the tax collector, and he turned them into honest and generous givers. The fishermen turned into fishers of men. The prostitutes turned into examples of purity and redemption. The zealots turned into passionate advocates of peace. The Samaritans turned into symbols of compassion and inclusion. The lepers turned into testimonies of healing and restoration. The sinners turned into beacons of forgiveness and transformation. Doubters turned into pillars of faith. And the poor turned into inheritors of the kingdom of God. This is what our Jesus does. He invites you. He loves you. And if you love him back, you can't stay the same. But if you're in the right house, if you found yourself in the right soil, and if you're here at Nations Church, can I tell you, you have found the right house and you found the right soil that you can actually grow with other people that'll love you. You'll grow with people that will help water your plant. You'll grow with people that will help cut off some of the branches that need to be pruned. You'll help grow with people that will put you in a position to receive sunlight so that you can really grow and you can really expand and you can do all those things. That's why I love this church. If you're not in a connect group, you need to join a connect group. Connect groups are awesome. Where can we join connect groups? In the foyer? Are they in there? Join a connect group. Is it awkward the first time you go? Yes. You walk into the house, you don't know, does it smell? Do they have a dog? Is it weird? What food are they going to have out? I'm gluten intolerant, right? Like, whatever it is, it's kind of weird. But if you can push through the weirdness of that first week, you then now have a family that when you're doing tough, guess who's going to be there? You have a family that's not going to judge you and get into you, but it's going to love you and encourage you, point you to Jesus, help walk with you to Jesus. That is the beauty of Jesus. Oh, the tension is, I'm seated there, but I live here. I heard this said many years ago, and I love it. And it always helps me when I'm having a dark day. Because I don't, all the time, I know I'm not where I want to be. But thank God, I'm not where I used to be. And I've walked a story with Jesus, and I'm still walking a story with Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, he's just wonderful. I think a lot of times people don't realize how wonderful Jesus is because they have a wrong perception of who Jesus is. Maybe they read the Old Testament and they see stories written by men with their revelation and their perception of God at that point in humanity. But here's the thing about Jesus, and this has become so clear to me even more recently, and I've grown up in church my whole life, and I've heard this my whole life, but Jesus is not just one of the gods. Jesus is God. In fact, he's the full revelation of who God is. Paul talks about it in Colossians chapter 1, that in Jesus God saw fit for the fullness of who he was to dwell in it. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So many people are like, what's God like? Can I give you the easy answer? God is like Jesus. Because God is Jesus. And maybe you've heard about an angry, wrathful God that wants to pour out his punishment, and luckily Jesus doesn't. No. Do you want to know who God is? God is the one that's on the cross dying for our sins. Sins are all the stuff that we've done that separated us from God. And the Bible always talks about how sin leads to death. And let me tell you, you don't need to wait until your physical death to experience death. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to issues. But Jesus loved you and I so much that he hung upon a cross and he took our sins from us. He paid off sin and death. God loved us that he sent Jesus, but Jesus is God and he's there. And when he died, he went down in the grave. But when he rose, he broke the power of that sin. This is so wonderful. So if you go, yeah, but how could God? Just look at Jesus. You want to see God? You see Jesus. And Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves people. He loves you. You know, I've been a Christian now for 22 years. I grew up in church, but I didn't love Jesus. Anyone else know what I'm talking about? I liked the girls at youth group. I didn't like Jesus. But in the last 22 years, God has been bringing me on a journey And even in the last year in my life, I'm 40. I've been in the ministry now for 21 of those 22 years. But even in the last year, I've just had this overwhelming revelation of the love and the kindness of Jesus. And you know what it's done for me? It's actually changed the way that I'm treating people and the way that I'm acting. When you begin to follow Jesus and how wonderful he is, oh, you cannot stay the same.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.